Sri Namanobistam Sthapitam Jena Putale Shayam Rupa Kada Mahyam Dhati Shapadantikam Namam Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishthaya Putale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyati Deshatarane. One of my godbrothers told me early on of one incident. One of Prabhupada's godbrothers published a book, and this somehow copy was sent to Srila Prabhupada, and this devotee brought the book to Prabhupada. Prabhupada looked at it, and in the introduction, the front matter, the devotee wrote that he was explaining why it had taken him so long, why he'd published this book in his old age. He said, when my Guru Maharaj left this world, I lost the light of my life. And then I went into business and I did this and I did that and so on. And now I'm writing this book. And Prabhupada commented that when Guru Maharaj left, he should have served Guru Maharaj. Prabhupada didn't accept, I've lost the light of my life. He should have served Guru Maharaj. His Holiness Bhakti Charumarsh has told that one time he said to Srila Prabhupada that, Srila Prabhupada, I wish that I could have been with you in New York in those early days when you were all alone. Prabhupada said, I was never alone. He said, my Guru Maharaj was always with me. That conviction Srila Prabhupada had, not just theoretically, the spiritual master is present in his instructions, but by realization. Realization means practical action, not just theoretical. By practical realization, Srila Prabhupada wrote that his spiritual master lives forever and that the servitor lives with him. And Srila Prabhupada set the example of always being dedicated to carrying out the order of his spiritual master with full energy. One time after Srila Prabhupada had his heart attack in the early 1960s, late 1960s, one of our godbrothers, Madhusudan Prabhu, wrote to Srila Prabhupada that now you have to recover your health. So it's better that for some time you rest and not preach. Srila Prabhupada wrote back, my dear boy, if I didn't preach, where would you be? We saw in Prabhupada's One small thing. In the last time Prabhupada came to New York City, maybe that was 1976, I think so. His health was not good. The signs were there. Still, Prabhupada was going on doing everything, his normal program. But I saw that he was keeping his beads, and every opportunity he was chanting. Of course, Prabhupada was always chanting. I think, anyway, that's another story. Bhakti Charamaj has told that story from Amsterdam. Anyway, it will divert my point. But Prabhupada, of course, he was always chanting Hare Krishna. But I saw that on that visit to New York, he was, you know, other things were put aside. In previous visits, Prabhupada would have more, as if it were more time, and he would see, you know, things would go on in the normal way. But on that visit, every spare moment, or even not spare moment, Prabhupada had his beads. He was chanting Hare Krishna with great intensity. One older devotee in Fiji, Prabhupada started the preaching in Fiji. Whole families of devotees joined. One elderly devotee asked what should be his engagement. Prabhupada said, you should chant more jap. Because he's an older man. You should chant more jap. So Prabhupada, on that visit, I saw he was every opportunity chanting more Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Then later he came to Bombay, last visit to Bombay. And we saw that Prabhupada had practically no physical energy, but there was a pandal program arranged, Cross Maidan or someplace. And Prabhupada was in such poor health that he had to be carried onto the stage. Bhavananda was there, and someone, and they would practically just deposit Prabhupada on his asana. And Prabhupada would be, you know, like if you'd taken a sack of rice or something and put it on the asana. It has no vitality. It's just a sack of rice. So Prabhupada's body was like that. The muscles, the vitality wasn't there. So Prabhupada was sitting, but he told the audience that I have come to enliven you and to be enlivened by you. And he had maybe Tamal Krishna Maharaj read. He said, read from the second canto, Svadvid Varahostra Karai, that section of Bhagavatam. And he would read, and Prabhupada was sort of slumped over and listening. And purport was being read. Prabhupada would say a word or two, read some more. Prabhupada would say another few words. But as the purport was being read and Prabhupada was commenting, Prabhupada just became enlivened, and soon he was roaring. Just roaring. A young man would not have had so much energy for speaking. With extraordinary energy, Prabhupada was speaking. And then he called for questions also. and beat down all the questioners.
So,
not just theoretically, but by practical demonstration. To the very end, Prabhupada was giving his full energy up to the last day. Giving his intelligence, his there wasn't much more than intelligence because the physical body was hardly working. But whatever physical energy was there, and practically said, Prabhupada said, spiritual energy. He said, because there's nothing left. Just a bag of bones, Prabhupada said. Earlier in Mayapur, he held out his arm, and where there's a muscle here, Prabhupada went like that. He said, flat tire. Well, by that time, also, the body was dwindling, and in the last days, just spiritual energy was there, practically speaking, because the body was finished. And in that condition also, Prabhupada was giving his full service. And he'd said earlier that in the absence of Guru Maharaj, you should have served his instruction. And Prabhupada demonstrated that. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Mahal Maharaj. Now we shall have His Holiness Srila Dhanudhara Swami Maharaj. Let us very loudly welcome him. Which I think Jayadvaita Maharaj said, for anyone interested in understanding the nature of devotion, he will find Dhanudhara Maharaj's Waves of Devotion quite helpful. So after a prolonged study of this book, Maharaj has written this book. He's also written a book on, compiled a book on Japa, and is working on another book on Bhakti. So now I would like to request His Holiness Dhanudhara Swami Maharaj to make his offering.
I feel very honored and humbled to sit here. I'm very unqualified, but by the mercy of the Vaishnavas, I've been requested to speak. When I woke up this morning, I knew I would be speaking in the morning at the Govardhan function, which I've attended for the last 15 or 20 years, because I didn't know that I'd speak here. But knowing that I was going to speak, I began to meditate. Now, what should I speak on? So I did a little exercise. I, in my mind, went back to think about my last 24 hours. And I wanted to see where I saw and felt the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. Of course, I'm feeling it here very, very profoundly, because the greatest glory of Srila Prabhupada is his legacy, that his teachings and mood carries on generation after generation. So certainly looking here itself, probably today, is one of my greatest inspirations for the glory of Prabhupada. And what he did that is carried out in Guru Parampara. I see Sachinanda Maharaj sitting there. I read last night his journal about his Dandavat Parikram. That was also an inspiration. It gave me some insight into Prabhupada's glory in kind of a unique way. He was talking about why he was doing that parikram. And he gave several reasons: to learn humility, he said, finally. But then he brought up an interesting point. Why practice? Why practice? You can't get devotion just by practice. That's why bhava is sadulabha, because it comes from the mercy of Krishna. But then why do we practice? And he gave a simple example that resolved that quandary. He said, if you're trying to get into someone's door and you bow down again and again and again and again in the dust of his door, won't that person let you in? So then I was thinking, this is a very beautiful idea of what is darshan. Because it had an image for me that Krishna is looking at our activities and Krishna is looking at our heart. And then I thought, why not look at the activities and pastimes and things about Prabhupada I remember, but look at them through the eyes of how Krishna was seeing them. And then I remembered a very interesting definition of darshan that's found in the story of delivering the wives of the Brahmins. The wives of the Brahmins overcame so many obstacles to come to see Krishna. Actually, how did they get that bhakti? They would buy flowers for their husband's worship. And who was selling the flowers? The Brijvasis. And what were the Brijvasis ladies doing? They were chanting and chanting and hearing about Krishna. And from that association, they got such eagerness that they left everything to see Krishna. And when they finally came before Krishna, Krishna smiled. And in the commentary it said, that is real darshan. That you go before Guru, you go before Krishna, and you offer your sacrifice, you offer your dedication, so that you can bring happiness to their heart by your unalloyed desire to serve Krishna. So I was meditating on different instances where I saw Srila Prabhupada, but I was meditating from the perspective of Krishna. How Krishna was happy, how Krishna was smiling. So I'll just relate one. It was 1976. And keep your image of Krishna watching this. 1976, August, disappearance day of Srila Rupa Goswami. Midnight. We're doing kirtan in front of Srila Prabhupada's house. And Prabhupada is leaving for the West out of compassion. Now, what was Srila Prabhupada's condition? I remember sometimes sitting in his room in the morning, because in Prabhupada's last months, there was 24-hour-a-day open-door policy. Because Prabhupada realized that the legacy of the movement would most powerfully be kept going by the inspiration and devotion that people have for him. So I remember one evening, Prabhupada actually, early in the morning, he screamed, Hare Krishna. And Bhavananda asked me to come on the bed and move his body. And it was told to me that because Prabhupada hadn't eaten for 6 months, they would measure some pomegranate juice, perhaps a little bit every day. They would see how much he was eating, that when there's no fat, the nerves and the bones, there's no fat between the nerves and the bones, and it's an extremely painful condition. And then Prabhupada came out. I don't remember exact moment he came out, but I remember exactly when he came back. And the image I have of him coming back gives an indication of the condition he had when he was going. He came back from Mumbai. He was in the West. Then took a train to Mathura. Then they drove him and he came in the side gate by his house. And he was in the arms of Brahmananda Prabhu. And it was the closest facsimile I've ever seen to that picture of Lord Chaitanya holding Haridas Thakur. And then I remember Prabhupada folded his hands and looked at us and then quoted with depth and feeling from the prayers of King Kulashekar, Krishna Twadiya Parapankaja Pankarajam Adyeva Me Manasa Rajahamsa. Let me die now when the swan of my mind is entangled with the lotus of your feet, otherwise at the time of death, how will I remember you? So I remember Prabhupada came, his car was waiting in the front. Of course, there was no samadhi. Even one very, very respected Indian friend of Prabhupada, a very respected politician in India, he even came and said, how can you let him go? They put him in the back seat of the car. And in that condition, Prabhupada went again to travel and to paradukha dukhi, no suffering, but the suffering that one feels for others. So what was Krishna doing? What was he seeing? How was he feeling? So on days like today, Tirubhav Titi Mahotsava Srila Prabhupada, we have to meditate on darshan. We have to meditate on our own life. We have to look in our own heart. We have to see what Guru and Krishna is seeing when they see us. Personally, on this day, I don't feel very good about myself. And I want to rededicate myself to the legacy and mission of Srila Prabhupada. I'll just finish it with one story of a devotee who Prabhupada saw and smiled. Not only saw and smiled, but made his way into the heart of Prabhupada. That's real darshan, where Guru and Krishna can see you, and they're so pleased with your dedication and your sacrifice that you enter into their heart. When Prabhupada initially came to leave the first time, He came from Rishikesh. And he came into his room in Vrindavan. And we came into his room. And then Prabhupada looked at us. And he exemplified the realization of the verse of Bhagavad Gita which he quoted. He said, if one has to leave, let them come to Vrindavan. Everything is here. He mentioned the Jamuna, the white sands of Ramareti, the peacocks. And then he said, Dehaino smin yata dehe, komadan yovanam jara, tata dehantara praptiras tas. As the embodied soul passes from boyhood to childhood to youth, similarly at the end of his life, he takes another breath. The self-realized soul is not bewildered by such a change. Prabhupada was not bewildered. He was sober. And then all of a sudden, Prabhupada started to open his heart and the affection for his devotee came out. And he began to say, he helped me so much. He helped me so much. And he began to talk about his dear disciple who had just passed away, Jayananda Prabhu. He gave me, Prabhupada said, he gave me $5,000 to print the Nectar of Devotion. And with such affection and such love, Prabhupada, and I was just thinking, sitting there at the time, Prabhupada, so distant, not distant in heart, but distant in his qualification compared to mine. Who Prabhupada was and how a devotee entered into the heart of Prabhupada, who took darshan of Prabhupada, and Prabhupada saw his dedication. Prabhupada saw his sacrifice. And therefore, Prabhupada developed great affection for him. So on this particular day, we should have a deep meditation. And we should look into our own hearts. And we should give darshan. We should take darshan. Tomorrow you'll go around the hill. One sadhu told me that when the devotee goes around the hill, Giriraj follows him around the hill. And you have darshan. And he sees your heart. Satchinandana Swami with the Dandavat Parikram. I met him on the road there and he shared his realizations. He was just offering. This is what I am. This is what I lack. So today, we can all take darshan of Prabhupada. We can all open our hearts. And then we'll come to one conclusion. We don't have much to offer. There's such a distance between what we have to attain and who we are. But there's one hope. And that Prabhupada is so great that he has unlimited mercy. And that if we're humble and we offer ourselves in dedication and sacrifice, then what we lack, he can give us. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Thank you very much, Damodar Maharaj. Now we'll have Damodar Ashtakam, and before that, a few important announcements.